Mark chapter 5, verse 21. We're going to go there. Mark chapter 5, verse 21. We're going to do some reading here this morning. The Word of God says this: when Jesus had crossed over again in the boat to the other side, a large crowd gathered around him, and so he stayed by the seashore. One of the synagogue officials named Jairus came up, and one, notice this, guys, here. This man named Jairus came up, and seeing him, he fell at his feet. So Jairus just presses through the crowd, he sees Jesus, and he just falls at his feet. He implored him earnestly, saying, "My little daughter is at the point of death. Please come and lay your hands on her so that she will get well and she will live." Notice that faith in him. Verse 24, and he went off with him, and a large crowd was following him and pressing on him. And a woman who had a hemorrhage for 12 years and had endured much at the hands of many physicians, and she spent all that she had, was not helped at all, but rather she grew worse. After hearing about Jesus, she came up and through the crowd behind them, and she touched the hem of his cloak. For she thought, "If I just touch the hem of his garments, I will get well." And immediately the flow of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of her afflictions. Immediately Jesus, perceiving in himself that power had proceeded out of him, notice this, he began to ask, "Who touched my garments?" And his disciples said to him, "You see the crowds pressing on you, and you say, 'Who's touching me?'" So the disciples were asking Jesus, "Why are you even asking this? Everyone is touching you." But let me just explain something. Just because you are touching Jesus doesn't mean you're experiencing his power. It's a powerful point there. And he looked around to see the woman who had done this, but the woman, fearing and trembling, aware of what had happened to her, came, and she fell down before him, and she told him the whole truth. And he said to her, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your afflictions." But while he was still speaking, they came from the house of the synagogue official, that's Jairus, and they said to him, "Your daughter has died. Why trouble the teacher anymore?" But Jesus, overhearing what was spoken, said to the synagogue official, "Do not be afraid any longer. Only believe. Only believe." And he allowed no one to accompany him except Peter, James, and John, the brother of James. They came to the house of the synagogue official. He saw the commotion and the people loudly weeping and wailing. As he entered the house, notice what happened here. He asked what I would think would be a dumb question, but Jesus was up to something. He asked, "Why make a commotion? Why weep? The child has not died, but is asleep." And they began to what? They began to laugh at him, laughing at him. I mean, can you imagine these people were laughing at Jesus? They were laughing at God. They were laughing because Jesus had just said something that to them was funny. So as they began laughing at him, notice, they began laughing at him, but putting them all out. So I love Jesus. I love what he does here. They began to laugh, and you know what Jesus did? He put them all out. He just ignored them. And he took along the child's father and mother and his own companions, and he entered the room where the child was. And taking the child by the hand, he said to her, "Little girl, I say to you, get up." And immediately the girl got up and began to walk, for she was 12 years old. And immediately, notice, they were all completely astonished. Here's what's interesting and what caught my attention. They went from laughing to being astonished. And I almost imagine Jesus telling the people, "Who's laughing now? Who is laughing now?" Now, let's pray. Father, I pray for this just special message today on our anniversary. Just pray, Lord, that you would just encourage us and help me preach today, Lord. And for anyone here, Lord, who's just wondering what it is that you're doing in their lives, for anyone who's going through things right now that seem beyond what they can fix and heal, pray you would open up their hearts to hear this word today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. In verse 23, I want to read this again. Notice what the Bible says here. As this man falls before Jesus and begins to beg him, he's just imploring and he's on his feet, he's on his hands and knees and he's begging Jesus. Notice what this man says. He says, "My little daughter is at the point of dying." So this is what really began to grab my heart. He goes to Jesus and he says, "My little girl is at the point." You see, to be at the point, that point symbolizes a moment, a season, a stance in which the next moment, the next thing that happened is either going to make you or break you. To be at the point means whatever happens next, it's either going to get better or it's going to get worse. But being at that point is also a thing that means you don't know what's going to happen. You're just left clueless. You don't know what the next day is going to bring, what tomorrow you're going to face. You just have no idea what's going to happen in your future. So when you're at that point, that's a very discouraging time. That's a time of being frightening, because you begin to notice that when you're at that point, you just don't know what's going to happen next. And sometimes being at the point, it's exciting. Sometimes being at that point can mean something great and enthusiastic, because sometimes we might be able to say, "I'm at the point, I don't know, I'm at the point of getting married. I'm at the point of giving birth. I'm at the point of graduating." And you're at that point that you know that you're just about to make it. You're about to experience your breakthrough. And I've heard many people celebrate and have excitement when they're at that point that you know you're getting over this season of hardship. You're getting over the difficulty. You're coming through this trial. So that's a very good point that a lot of us endure in life. But then there's that other point. Can I talk about that other point? The point that people have said to me throughout the years of being a pastor. "Pastor, I'm at the point. I've reached my breaking point." Anyone have a breaking point? "Pastor, I'm on the point of having a nervous breakdown. Pastor, we're at the point of divorce. Pastor, I'm at the point of just giving up." So on one side, the point can be an exciting thing. But then the point can turn into such deep, disheartening discouragement that you're saying, "I'm at the point where I don't think I'm going to come out of this. I'm at that point that I've stopped praying and believing for this. I've reached the point that I'm not even asking God anymore. I'm at that point where I no longer believe God can change my circumstance." So this man is at the point. So he tells Jesus, "My daughter is at the point. So I don't know what's going to happen, but I know you can change things. I know you can make things better." And he's at the point where he has no other option but to run to Jesus and say, "Lord, I need you to do something, because I can't fix my problem with my daughter. I cannot fix this. I can't heal her." So he runs to Jesus. He falls on his knees and begins to beg. And he just tells Jesus, "I'm at this point that I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. But if nothing changes, it's going to get worse. If nothing changes, Lord, if you can do nothing, I don't think I'm going to make it. I don't think she's going to survive. So he tells Jesus, I'm at the point. And I love it because Jesus looks at him, gets him up, and says, let's go to your house. See, I love this part of the story because it's the part where you think you're going to get your prayers answered. It's that point in your life where you think God is going to do it this way, and this way is my way, and God, you're going to answer this, you're going to open this door, and God heard my cry, and He's coming through for me. So when Jesus gets them up and says, let's go to your house, it feels like when you read it in the context, remember, there was a large crowd pressing on Him. He was not the only one with problems, just like you're not the only one with problems, but He looks at this guy, and He says, let's go to your house. So you know what Jesus did in the midst of thousands of people pressing up against Him with their issues? This God that we serve just stops and says, I see you, I notice you, I've heard you, and I'm going to help you. Imagine how excited he felt. To know that God is about to change my entire life. He's going to heal my broken heart. He's going to fix my sick daughter. He's going to make everything better. And as they're walking along, as they're walking, everyone say walking. So as they're walking, and he's thinking, I'm going to get my breakthrough. Along comes this woman, who I was mad at when I read this story, by the way. This woman just comes along. She also has a problem, like Jairus. She also pushes through the crowd, like Jairus. She also comes to Jesus, like Jairus. And Jesus stops. Can I ask you a question? Does it ever feel like in your life the Lord has just stopped? You're walking with Him, you're believing for something great, and it just feels like He stopped. It feels as though God just stopped and forgot about you. Because they're walking together, but all of a sudden he stops and his attention is no longer on him, but on her. And I don't know about you, but I've been in those seasons where it feels like God has just stopped and forgotten about me. And many people in the church feel forgotten by God. And as he turns around and he's looking for this woman, she gets healed right there on the spot. So this rude person, because she's rude, she presses through the crowd, she steals a little miracle from Jesus. And she's blessed. Matthew writes this account and he begins to say the woman's story, that she was bleeding for 12 years and she spent all her money. How did Matthew know this? Because while Jesus healed her, she's telling everyone her testimony. So this turned into a church service. Everyone's worshiping, everyone's praising God, everyone's saying, man, this is awesome. They're hearing her testimony, and Jairus is just sitting there saying, hello? Hey, Jesus, do you remember me? Come on, my girl is sick, I gotta go, we gotta go. It's gonna be too late. And as everyone is celebrating, everyone's just singing, saying, Jesus is awesome. He healed her. She's been sick for 12 years. I heard she spent all her money on doctors. And Jesus just healed her. And as everyone is celebrating, you can hear the loud commotion. And someone taps him on the back and says, Jairus, we came all this way just to tell you. She's dead. Isn't it amazing that you can be in the midst of Jesus and His power and worship and prayer and praise and still be carrying bad news? I mean, He wants to celebrate with this woman. He's happy that she's healed. But in His mind, He's probably thinking now, what about me? Lord, why did you abandon me? Why did you forget me? Why did you get my hopes up? You said you were going to my house. You implied that you were going to heal her and fix my problems. But then you just stopped and you started helping someone else. And now my girl is sick because you stopped. You stopped. And she just interrupted what you were doing in my life. I wonder what issues in your life have you gone through that it has just interrupted your relationship with God. Why did Jesus do that? As I read this, I asked myself, Lord, why did you do this to this poor man? Why did you allow this man? Why did you get his hopes up? You got him up. You said, let's go to your house. You got him all excited, only to feel disappointed when he gets the bad news that his daughter had died. And as I read this, can I tell you why I'm preaching from this passage? Because I remember 8 years ago reading this passage in the bathroom, in the movie theater when we were starting our first service. Because I felt like God had led me wrong. Just being honest. Because I looked at everything we were going through as a church. The struggle, the hardship. The empty chairs. And I remember sitting in the stall bathroom at the movie theater with my Bible, just asking God, Lord, did I hear right from you? Am I in the right place? Because it doesn't seem like it's working. And the Lord led me to Jairus. And I realized that at that moment, Jairus was going through three tests. Three tests that the Lord showed me that morning. And these are three areas that the Lord will test you in. So you're going to go through these tests as well, just like Jairus did, just like I did. You want to know what they are? Number one, the one thing Jesus wanted to know about Jairus. It's the one thing Jesus wants to know about you. Will you continue to believe and walk with me? Because they started off great.
Jairus gets on his knees, just like you got on yours, and you surrendered your life to Jesus, and Jesus picked him up just like he picked you up, and you were walking with the Lord because you remember when the Lord picked you up and you started your walk with him, how excited you were, how enthusiastic you were, and you said, man, my life from here on out is going to be so much easier, and what a blessing, not knowing you were about to face. And the one thing that God wanted to know about Jairus is, will you continue to walk with me and believe in me? The first test Jairus went through is the test of disappointment. The test of disappointment is when you felt and you really believed that God was going to do it a certain way in your life. You had this mental picture that you would be in a certain place at a certain season, and this is where you were going to live, and this is what you were going to do, and this is who you were going to be married to, and how many kids, and you had this picture of where you would be right now, and it hasn't happened. And you really felt like God was going to do it for you. That God was going to open that door. He was going to provide that opportunity. And you really believed you heard from God. Just like he thought he heard Jesus say, let's go to your house. Is that not what the Lord said? Absolutely. But then he gets the news. She's dead. So he reached his breaking point. And it looked like God had just let him down. You know what's funny about this? When I read it 8 years ago, I had this excitement. And this enthusiasm that, man, our church was going to be great. And I had this vision. I said, man, there's going to be countless people getting saved and healed. But I had no idea what we would go through as a church for 8 years. I left a comfortable church where I was serving in, and they were promising me the moon and the stars. I mean, they were saying, Pastor, in just a few years, we're going to give you this building, we're going to give you this property, we're going to do this, we're going to do that, you're going to work for us, you're going to make great money, you're going to do this. And all of a sudden, one afternoon in a meeting, I felt the Lord say, resign. I got something else. I was like, yes, Lord, why? Because I thought what the Lord had was going to be bigger and better and easier. And when we started our church service, it was in my mother's living room. Those were fun times. That was our first little sign. That was our first church right there. Didn't look great. Didn't look promising. I mean, that's the church. Right there, a bunch of college students. We had no idea what we were doing. But there we were. And when we got our first offering, man, when I saw those $30, you know what I thought, man, we're going to go places. We couldn't even afford a proper offering plate. It was a jar. And the disappointment was really there. See, what God was asking me is, David, will you still walk with me? Even if I'm not doing what you thought I'd do, will you still walk with me? And I said, yes, Lord.
And God said, on to the next test. The next test Jairus went through was the same test I went through. The same test you'll go through. If you pass the disappointment test, believe you're going to go to this next one. It's the test of comparison. It's hard. Because remember, Jesus did for this woman what he was asking him to do for his daughter. Heal. Heal. And let me tell you, can I preach the truth about this woman? I don't like her. Let me tell you why. I like Jairus. I'm Team Jairus right now. Because he was a synagogue official. Meaning he had a high position in the temple of God. In the synagogues. It meant that he was in every service. He was a religious man. He helped many people. If anyone should have been blessed by God, it would have been him because he works for God. And he came to Jesus first. But see, what the Bible tells us about this woman was Jesus was not her first option. Did you guys pick that up? The Bible says she spent all her money, so money was her first option. She went to the doctors first. She tried the other remedies first. And after none of that worked, then she said, maybe I'll give Jesus a try. But Jairus came first to Jesus. So if anyone should have been blessed first, was the one who put God first. So here's my question. Does it ever feel like God makes it easier for others and not you? Because if not, stick around in this church and you'll know what I'm talking about. It just feels, man, I get emails and phone calls from other pastors and churches and they're praising. I don't know if it's praise or bragging. I don't know anymore. But it's like, man, Dale, you won't believe what God is doing in my life. And in our church, I hear it all the time. And I'm like, this makes me sick already. Like one guy just, I think it was last month, I was in Orlando, and this woman, amazing, well, I've never met a woman like this. You know what happened to this woman? She started a Bible study. Of 10 women on the beach. And it grew in 1 year to have over 10,000 people on the beach. And the city got so tired of all these 10,000 people every week on the beach that said, we're going to do you a favor. We're going to give you our civic center for free. And I'm like, praise God for you. And I'm like, man, was that hard? And she's like, no. She's like, it just came. It was so easy. And I'm like, man, I know what you're talking about. And you get these people. I mean, it's like you're praying and you're asking God for something. Then that friend of yours calls and says, you won't believe what God's doing. Or you're just believing for something and you just log on Facebook and you see a picture and you see what they got, what you were asking for. And you know deep down inside you deserve it more. Amen. You're like, God, I don't get it. Have you ever asked that to God? I don't get it. And God says, you don't get it because you haven't gotten it. Trust me. Comparison. It just feels like God is just making it so much easier for everyone else but you. You know, back then in those days, I would get phone calls from pastors who were friends of mine
close friends. We grew up together, and they would call me and say, "Pastor, you won't believe what happened, David." And I'm like, "Here it comes. Man, some guy just donated, just gave online blank thousands of dollars." I'll never forget that call. True story. He called me and said, "Someone just believed in our church and gave us $20,000+ to just get us started." This was the weekend we were doing our garage sales. Bless those years. On the Saturdays, we turned to Goodwill. We just try to make it. We had no idea. That smile, that was only my mom can smile like that. That's Joanna, right? That's the real. That's what I felt. Man, those were hard years, weren't they, Joanna? I mean, mom was like, "Just believe God. God is awesome. God's going to provide." I'm like, "Oh, mom." We just didn't know how we were going to make rent, and we would sell everything we could. Some of our stuff would go missing in church. What happened to it? "Oh, we sold it. Someone liked it. We sold it. We needed to pay the light bill. Hey, where's that chair? Oh, we sold it. Where's my table? Oh, I sold it." We started selling everything, not knowing how we were going to make it, if we were going to make it to next month. And we were here till midnight, 1 a.m. after, to get ready for the next day for church service. So I was there comparing and said, "Lord, why is it that you put us through this? And it's like you rain down benefits and money to other people and you make it so much harder." And it was in this place, right around this area, I was praying by myself. And I said, "Lord, why are you doing this? Why do we have to go through garage sales?" And the Holy Spirit spoke to me, "I never asked you to." And it was there that the Lord impressed in my heart, "This will be the last one, and you will believe me for provision." That was the last one we ever had. And the Lord convicted me of something. Jairus was wrong here. Because I really believe he looked at this woman and was tempted to think, "Well, God, why did you help her? Why did you heal her? Why did you make it so much easier for her? I serve you. I pray to you. I work for you. I do this for you." And she's not even that good of a Christian. You ever said that before? Or in other ways you can understand, "Why am I single? I'm so much prettier." Or, "Why do they get their promotion? I'm more qualified." Man, I would look and compare. I would compare even church vans. That's how low I got. Man, our church van, it had the Flintstone thing going on. It's the only van that if you ran over a puddle, you would feel it inside the car. The water would come out from the bottom. I was sleeping in the back once, and I woke up. Because it was through splashing. I'm like, "What is that?" And I just see the lines on the road, the pavement. I'm like, "Is that the floor?" And then when it rained, you remember when it rained on that van? "Everyone get your cups up!" Those are humbling days. We loved that van. Except the day it broke down. Left us in Tampa on Saturday night. I called our church mechanic, Eddie, who drove 4 a.m. to come get us. Never saw that van again. We're believing God's going to get us one. And the second I praised God, I said, "Man, our church is looking great. A car goes through the lobby." And that's when I said, "God, why is it so much harder for us and not so and so and not so and so?" You know why Jairus was wrong? There's a powerful point in this story we miss. But Jesus
Matthew writes it there for a reason. Did you guys pick up that the Bible says the woman was bleeding for 12 years and then the Bible says the girl was 12 years old? Did you guys pick that up? Let me explain to you why. Because I said, why did Matthew feel the need to say this girl's age? What was so important about that? Then I understood. See, you might be in a season that things are hard and you're looking at someone else who's celebrating and you take their celebration away because you feel like you deserve something better. So you see someone celebrating the birth of a child or getting married or promotion or whatever it is they're celebrating, but you're going through a season of hardship, so you're tempted to compare, and because the devil tells you and lies to you that that person never has problems. What a lie. See, here's what's interesting. The woman had an issue for 12 years. So 12 years ago, this issue started. The girl was 12 years old. So that means 12 years ago, she was born. So while Jairus was celebrating the birth of his daughter, which was a huge deal, this woman was alone crying. She couldn't fix this issue. So it's so easy to look at someone celebrating, but you don't know. And you weren't there the days that they were alone crying. And everyone that you compare yourself to, believe me, they have issues you don't know about. So while Jairus was celebrating the birth of her child, of his child, this woman got a bad report from the doctors. So it switches like that. While I'm celebrating, you might be going through depression. And then while I'm going through depression, you might be celebrating. And while you're celebrating a victory, I might be going down and saying, man, I'm going through some problems. But then when I come out of this problem, you may be getting into one. So every day as you come out of something, someone is getting into something. So the next time you're tempted to compare yourself to someone, realize they have issues you don't know about. So that's how you pass the comparison test. So Jairus went through the season of disappointment. He went through that test. Lord, you didn't do it my way. Jairus was tempted to compare himself to her and say, Lord, why did you make it easier for her and not me? Why did you heal her and not my daughter, Lord? And Jesus was almost saying to Jairus, you don't know that while I was blessing you 12 years ago, she was going through hell. She was going through crisis. So don't lie to yourself as though everyone around you has it easy. They don't. And then comes the hardest test of all. As they're celebrating her healing, and everyone's praising Jesus and saying, man, Jesus, you're awesome. Look what you did for her. She's been healed and she's sharing her testimony. He hears a whisper in the crowd, Jairus, your daughter's dead. They could have stopped there. These friends of his could have stopped right there and it would have been okay. Hey, she's dead. But they didn't stop there. They asked him a question. Why? Why bother? Other translations say they told him, don't even bother asking Jesus anymore. The hardest test you'll go through is when you're in the season of being at the point from hearing the voices in you saying, what's the point? Maybe you're hearing that today. What's the point? Don't bother. Stop trying. Stop believing.
that things are going to get better. Stop trying to change what you can't change. Stop even believing that things are going to get better. Why bother? Don't bother going to church. Don't bother worshiping. Don't bother praying. What's the point anyway? And so many people carry that voice in them. Why bother? What's the point? Give up already. And it's sad because this voice came from his friends at a season where they should have encouraged him. They discouraged him. And said, Jairus, don't even bother. Give up. So he's conflicted. What do I do? Do I keep believing? Or do I give up on this? What's the point? I've been going through this for years. What's the point? I've tried and tried and tried. What's the point? I've had this problem forever. What's the point? My dad and my grandfather had this issue. What's the point, God? Why bother? You hear the whisper of Satan telling you that right now. Don't bother with God. But you're never a bother to God. Always remember that. Because I remember when I was like 18, 19 years old. And I was in an office, a room full of pastors. And they told me, we don't think you're called. We don't think you understand what it means to be in ministry. You don't even look like a pastor. I've been told that my whole life. It's okay. I thank God for that, actually. I heard that voice. Why bother? But I knew God was calling me to ministry. And I remember one day just taking a break from college. I just got up one day during a math class. I got up. I was walking on. The professor says, David, where are you going? I said, I don't know. Almost in tears. I said, I don't know where I'm going. But it ain't here. And I remember sitting down with my mom. You remember that? And before the words can come out of my mouth, my mom, Prophet Maribel, said, you feel the call for ministry, don't you? You're going to take a year off, aren't you? Okay. What kind of mom supports that? Only a mom that trusts God. And she tells me years later. She tells me years later, by the way, God told me one of my sons was going to be a pastor. I just never said anything. That's why she was able to say, go ahead. Because she knew God was in this. But you're going to hear those voices. Why bother? Give up. What's the point? See, because when we were at that movie theater, I remember being in the stall in the bathroom and sitting down in tears, and because I saw like, I think 10 people that Sunday. And I heard the voices telling me, why bother with this church? Why? What's the point of all this? Go back where it's comfortable? Give up on this? And that's when I read this story. And I realized that those that I thought were my friends were actually discouraging me. And they weren't really friends at all. That's what Jesus, I love what Jesus said here. When the people laughed at him, he just closed the door on them. See, if you want God to really bless you and get you where you need to go, you need to know that some people are just seasonal, and there's going to come a point that God's going to tell you, close the door on them. You don't need them anymore. So if you're in that season of, why bother? I remember that movie theater. It was horrible. Every Sunday setting up and tearing down. Every Sunday, I mean, being locked out in the cold. Every Sunday, Just wondering, are we going to make it? Every Sunday, I heard the voice tell me, why bother? I remember where I was tired of the movie theater. And one day, I had lunch. That movie theater, I still cringe. Still cringe. You know, look at this picture. Look at my dad's face. That's like, he's crazy. He's lost. That was our storage. That was our little sign. This guy is awesome. That was it. We had the biggest screen in Hialeah. Awesome. That was it. I remember telling God, I can't do this anymore. But just like Jairus couldn't do it anymore. And God still wanted to know, will you walk with me? Even when the voices are telling you not to bother anymore. Will you still walk with me, Jairus, even if your friends have discouraged you? Will you still believe me, even when you know there's nothing to believe? So then Jesus said something profound to Jairus. He says to him, don't be afraid. I want to close with this, because the Bible says Jesus went to Jairus. Everyone is celebrating because Jesus just heals this woman from her problems and everyone's all excited, and Jesus turns back to Jairus. Remember one powerful point I want to make here. You see, there comes a point where you feel like God has taken his attention off you, but he never has. See, someone needs to hear this. I don't know who you are, but the Lord hasn't forgotten you. You're just going through the test of disappointment and comparison and the test of why bother. Because God wants to know, will you still walk with me when you're disappointed and I didn't do things the way you pictured? Will you still walk with me when you see me bless someone else and not you? When I make someone else's life easier than yours? And when someone else gets what you believe for, will you still walk with me? And will you still walk with me when people tell you to give up? When people tell you, don't bother me anymore? When people tell you to stop trying and stop believing, will you continue to walk with me? So through the seasons and the years of our church, we've gone through disappointment, we've gone through comparison, and we've gone through those critics and those voices and those emails and those churches telling us, why bother? Why bother? But see, Jesus looks at Jairus and says, don't be afraid. Just believe. Just believe. Because Jairus is human. And in the disappointment and in comparison and in the voices telling him not to bother, there was something in him that created fear. He was afraid. Just like you might be afraid this morning. Afraid of what's going to happen, or afraid of what if this happens, or afraid of how am I going to come through this and get out of this. Afraid. Maybe like Jairus, you have a child that needs Jesus right now. And you're afraid for them. Because you don't know what they're going to do with their future. You don't know the choices that they're making. But you know one thing, Lord, they need you. And you're afraid. So Jesus turns to Jairus and says, don't be afraid. Just believe. Hey, Jairus, will you still walk with me? Even when you're afraid. Fear will cause anyone to just stop and believe that God It's not going to do anything or change anything.
See, when I was in that bathroom stall and I was reading this story, I knew what God was telling me. Because I've gone through disappointment, I've gone through comparison, I've gone through people telling me, don't bother, give up, stop trying, quit. And I can tell you, as your pastor, I was afraid. But God was telling me there, do it afraid. Do it afraid. Don't wait to fear for fear to be absent for you to have faith. No. See, faith is not the absence of fear. We think that, but it's not. Faith is only the demonstration of what you're believing for. Hebrews 11:1 puts it this way, that faith is the confidence, is being sure of what we hope for. Now, faith is the assurance of things hoped for. What are you hoping for in your life right now? What are you believing for? You see, faith is the assurance that's going to happen. It's the conviction of things that aren't even seen. So you're not always going to see. But you better live your life like it's going to happen. So when Jesus tells Jairus, hey, just believe and don't be afraid, he's literally telling him, I want you to walk with me even if you're afraid. I want you to believe even when you are afraid. Because sometimes you're not going to see it. But you still have to believe it. See, a few years ago, when I've gone through disappointment, when I went through comparison, and when I went through the voices telling me to quit, they sent me a pastor, I will never forget this guy. His name was Pastor Steve. Pastor Steve. I still talk to him. Steve drove all the way from Tampa just to see me. They told him about me and that he felt in his heart, I need to go talk to this young man and mentor him. So Steve went all the way over here just to have breakfast with me and lunch. He just said, give me one day of your time. I said, okay. I didn't give him 1 hour. Because the second we sat down and began to order breakfast and the food arrived, I was on the Denny's in 36th Street. I'll never forget this. I was discouraged. I was lost. I was like, I don't know what God's doing. And before I could even talk to Steve, I felt God tell me, get up and leave. Leave, Steve. And I was like, this is not happening. Leave. Get up. Same thing Jesus told Jairus, get up. Let's go. I got something to show you. So I looked at Steve and I said, Steve, I got to go. He looked at me confused and I said, I don't know where I'm going, but God told me to go. And Steve is such a man of God. He says, I've been there. And he says, why are you still here? That's a man of God right there. Didn't take offense. Didn't complain. He said, David, go. So I got in my car, I'm driving, and the Lord just, I got off this exit here, I'm driving, and I looked on that light, the light turned red, I looked to the left, I see this church, and the Lord says, there's your church. And I said, are you sure? Because this is what I saw when I got here. It was a furniture place. That was after we fixed it up. It was worse than that. Destroyed. And I looked at this, and you know,
When I'm looking at all these pictures, we spent 3 weeks every day and every night, no sleep, barely any food. We're just all day working endlessly. But when I first, I mean, this was before I even told the church, when I sat through that little window there and I looked in and I saw all of that, I'm going to tell you the honest to God truth, I didn't see it torn down. I saw this. I saw it for what it was going to be, not for what it is now. If you want to get through this life, you have to start seeing with eyes of faith. You don't look at where you're at right now. That's why for 8 years I've been able to get through it, because I'm not in today. Don't talk to me about today. If you want to talk to me, I'm only going to talk about the next 20 years. And I'm looking with eyes that see ahead. And when I looked at everything that we had to do to get this church for where what it is, I heard that voice. Why bother? We had like $100 in our bank account. And I told our church, we sat down in the living room, we said, and I said, do you want to do this? Do you want to do this, guys? All of you, you think we should do this? And I'll never forget, Noel told, he looked at me in the living room, he said, I believe God talked to David. That's crazy. But the church just sat there and they didn't even say, but what if and what if? No, they were like, let's do it. We can do this, we can do that, we can do this. And we actually got excited about it. And through the constructions and the electrocutions and the bloody people and the nails going through, I mean, I felt like, geez, I was literally crucified by nails. Like, every day we were getting punctured and head bruised and no sleep and horrible. When we finished our bathroom, I sat down inside it. And I remember asking God with a little bitterness. I said, Lord, why couldn't you just give it to us? Why are you making us go through this renovation? I don't understand it. And as I sat there, you know, the Lord, I'm just impressed in my heart there. What you're doing for this building, I'm going to do for the people that come in it. And the Lord reminded me that before I started this church, I told the Lord, Lord, send me the broken. I said, Lord, I don't want nice people. He answered that, believe me. Y'all are crazy. But I prayed to the Lord. I said, Lord, I don't want a church full of Christians. I don't want a church where everyone has it together. God was like, okay. And I believe that this is a church where God will renovate you and build you to where you're going to become who He's always called you to be. But through it all, through the times of disappointment and comparison and the voices saying, why bother, give up. All along, God was just asking us as a church, will you still walk with me? You know what Jesus was telling Jairus there? Jairus, I haven't forgotten about you. And Jairus, I'm going to finish what I start. I finish what I start. Because Jesus said, let's go to your house. And the minute this girl dies, it feels like those plans are out the window. But here's the thing about God. Whatever He has planned will come to pass in spite of what has happened. Did you know that not even death can stop Jesus? So whatever bad news you've gotten, whatever people are telling you, whatever setbacks you have suffered, whatever God has ordained and declared, it is going to happen. Why don't you turn to your neighbor right now and declare, it's going to happen. I don't know how, I don't know when, but it's going to happen. Why? Because God said so. Because God said so. So whatever you tell me, it ain't going to help. It ain't going to work. Whatever happens to me, it's not going to stop me. Because I know that God will finish what He has started. What Philippians 1:6 says, God will finish what He has started. So be confident in this. He who began a good work in you, He'll carry it. Everyone say, carry it. So God's going to carry you. He's going to work in you all the way to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. You know what God says here? I'm going to work in you. I'm going to carry you. And I'm going to finish where I start all the way until Jesus returns. He's not going to abandon you. And in the end, they get to this house. Everyone's crying. And I love it because I've done several funerals and the last thing I would ever say is, why is everyone so sad? I can't imagine doing a eulogy saying, why is everyone crying? What's the big deal? But Jesus walks into this funeral service and says, why are you crying? Why are you crying? What's with all the commotion? He almost looks insensitive. But see, the Lord wants you to know that maybe you're crying over something that's not going to happen. Maybe you're afraid of something that will never come. Or maybe it has happened and you're crying. And God says, that's okay. Because I'm going to turn your tears into joy. So while they're laughing at Him, He tells Peter, James, and John, man, close that door on them. And when He gets her up, brings her out of the room. The Bible says all the people were astonished. See, this is my favorite part of the message. Because, and let me say this right, God's going to prove your haters wrong. The people that laughed at you, those same people that laughed, some of them said, why bother? That's why I titled it, Who's Laughing Now? Because I believe that God is going to do such a wonderful work in you and in this church that we can do nothing but be astonished. We serve an astonishing God. So with every head bowed, every eye closed today, if you're here today, you're saying, Pastor, I feel like Jairus. I'm going through disappointment. Maybe your life is not what you thought it was going to be like. Maybe you're guilty of comparison. And it's hard for you to celebrate someone else's blessing because you haven't gotten yours. Or maybe today you're going through those voices that are telling you, don't bother.
You're going to stay this way forever. You'll be sick forever. Your child's never going to be saved. This person's never going to find the Lord. Why bother believing? Stop asking God for that. It's not going to happen. And God is asking you today, will you still walk with me? Through the voices, through the disappointment, when I don't do for you what I've done for others, will you still walk with me? Will you still believe? Because you will never get to your breakthrough unless you're willing to continue to walk with Jesus. Some of you, maybe you've stopped walking with Him because of the disappointment, because of the unfairness and of life and the hurt that people have caused you. You're saying, what's the point? Why walk with Jesus? Why come to church? Why pray? Why read the Bible? Why believe? God hasn't worked out for me. Maybe it was just that you're going through the test. But I believe that God wants to astonish you. And whatever God has started in your life, He will complete it. So maybe like Jairus, it must have felt like God just stopped and forgot you. But even when all hope is gone, and it is dead, and everyone says it's dead, God has the last word. And He's telling you today, don't be afraid. Just believe. Can I tell you why Jairus' daughter was healed? Because the Lord wants you to do what Jairus did. If anyone wants to see the Lord and His power and His deliverance, Jairus ran and fell at the feet of Jesus. Before you can do anything or see God do anything, there comes a point where you have to realize, like Jairus, I can't do this without Jesus. You can. I can. None of us can. You can't fix yourself. You can't heal yourself. You can't fix them. You can't fix your life. You can't do anything without the Lord. And when Jairus recognized that, he pressed through and he found Jesus and he fell in submission at His feet and he simply said, Lord, help me. Maybe that's what God is just waiting for you to do. Or maybe you're like this woman and God is your last resort. That's okay. Because He's here right now and He's asking you, will you finally do it my way? And just trust me. Father, I pray for every soul here today or listening online. As we celebrate our 8 years and we've just seen what You've done in our church, we know that You're going to continue to work in this ministry. But Lord, I know that there are people here today that feel like You've stopped, like You've forgotten them. There are people here that are going through problems with their health and their family. There are people here who are just afraid. But I pray, Lord, that You would give them the courage to surrender to You in faith. And whatever the voices say, I pray that Yours would be the loudest. If you're here today, I want to pray for you. If you're here today, it's going to be an interesting prayer. I want to, by a show of hands, if this is you, but if you just need some renovation of your own, if you're saying, God, I need some renovations in my heart because I'm broken. If you're saying, I'm hopeless, I'm powerless, I'm like this woman, I've gone through many resources, I've gone through many people, many doctors, much money has been spent, much medication, and nothing's helping. Because when all doors close, there's always one that will remain open, and that's the Lord Jesus. Maybe you're Jairus and you're saying, Lord, my child needs you. And I can't do anything about them anymore. Maybe the Lord wants to intervene in that relationship. Maybe you're hearing the voices telling you, I want to quit, I want to give up. Maybe there's something you're believing for, but now lately it just seems like it's not going to happen, so you've stopped praying. I pray today that you begin to pray those prayers that have been lost through trials. If this is you today, if anything that in this story relates to you today, would you stand today to your feet? We're going to pray together as a church. If you're saying, Pastor, I'm standing for my children, I'm standing for my marriage, I'm standing for my health, I'm standing because I want Jesus in my life, I'm standing because I can't anymore, I'm standing because I know I want to quit, I want to give up, but I can't do this anymore. Maybe you're not supposed to do it. Let's pray together as a church. Father, take these prayers now as your own. If you're here this morning and you want to make the Lord Jesus Christ your Savior, right where you're at, pray this with me. You just say, Lord Jesus. Even if you're online, you pray this with me. Just say, Lord Jesus, I confess and agree that I'm a sinner and I need you. So today, I come before you asking you to forgive me of my sins. As I turn from them and now turn to you, I surrender this life to you in faith that you are the Lord of my life from here on out. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. And if you're here today, whatever you're going through, whatever sickness in your body, whatever child astray, whatever problem has you doubting and fearful, the Lord will finish what He has declared upon your life. You may be suffering disappointment. You may be tempted with comparison. You may be wondering if God has even forgotten you right now because it feels like He's stopped. If you have stopped believing, if you've stopped in faith, then today is your day to renew that faith, saying the Lord will continue what He started. Lord Jesus, I pray for any person here today who feels the pain and the burden of Jairus, who feels the pain of this woman. Lord, we all have different stories, we all have different pains and struggles, but we all serve the same God, and that is You, Lord. So I pray for any person here today who is helpless and hopeless and fearful. Lord, continue to work in their life. Finish what You have started and renew their faith in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Why don't you give God a shout of praise today if you've been blessed. Amen.